What we're going to do today is we're going to go back and we're going to get into the voices of the Koine Greek, remembering that in the verb system. And, you know, I was looking at the Koine Greek verb system, and I think that the verb system is the most complicated system in the Koine Greek, by the way. There was a chart that somebody brought up a couple of weeks ago that described all of the things that we should know about verbs and nouns, prepositions and such. And the verb system happens to be the most complicated. And as we looked at for a number of times, the verb system, as soon as you hear of a Koine Greek verb, you should think of person, of number, of mood, of voice, of tense, and not only that, but looking ahead into one of these charts, the Koine Greek verses always also have cases, and so I believe that spending a good amount of time learning the Koine Greek verb system is a really, really good thing to do, because once you learn all the aspects that are involved in the Koine Greek verb system, moving on to, let's say, the noun system, you'll be pretty prepared for it, except for memorization of things. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look on page 13 of your little text there of the small textbook by Dr. Black, and look on page 13. And what we're going to do is I hope that all of you have your interlinears. Do you? Your interlinears. Because we're going to be looking into the interlinear. I hope that all you guys do into the Green's interlinear. Does that mean that somebody we know does not have the interlinear tonight? Ron, do you have interlinear of any kind? Not putting you on the spot at all. It's just that we're going to be looking at the interlinear as far as the voices are concerned. And so if we look on page 13 of the text, good, oh, that's great. If we look at verse 13 of the text, and believe me, you know, when I took Koine Greek under a pastor, Pastor Hallman Bertstad, we didn't hardly touch on any of these things whatsoever. And I was in that class for a half a year or so. When I went to Marquette University and I took classical Greek for a year and a half, I got A minuses. Never did anything like this at all. I can't even remember what I actually learned, but it certainly wasn't verb systems or noun systems. And so what I'm saying to you is that what we're doing is really great. It just really is, as far as the Word of God is concerned. And everything that we're doing is great. It doesn't matter how basic it seems to you guys. You're going to be learning something that, if we concentrate on it at all, it's going to be helpful to you in the Scriptures. And that's just great. On page 13, it says voice. In addition to mood, Koine Greek verbs are also said to express voice. Whereas mood refers to the way in which the writer, we're going to say, chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action, voice refers to the way in which the writer chooses to relate the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of that verb. That's interesting. And I think that what we should do is we should understand what I just read, because we can read this and it can go right through our brains, and we'll not even understand what we read. I know that because it happens to me. Maybe you're not as dumb as I am, but on the other hand, maybe you are. Now, let's go back to that again. In addition to mood, Greek verbs are also said to express voice, whereas mood, and do we really know what mood does? Well, we can read it, but do we really understand? Mood refers to the way in which the writer chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action. All right, so what we should do is when we're talking about mood, we should have that sentence right in our brain. Okay, what does mood refer to? Our mind says, well, that's the way that the writer of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, that's the way he chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action. All right? And if we keep that in our brain, bow, 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 oh, well, we know what Koine Greek verb mood is. Right? The unreality or the reality of an action, which is conveyed by the verb. And that's how the Holy Spirit conveys that action, real or unreal. Okay, whammo, we've got that down, mood. Okay, whereas voice refers to the way in which the Holy Spirit chooses to relate the grammatical subject of the verb. Okay, so what's the grammatical subject of the verb? Okay, Tommy runs fast. Okay, Tommy is the grammatical subject of runs. Tommy runs fast. Okay, so the grammatical subject of that sentence is Tommy. So it's how the Holy Spirit relates Tommy to the action of that running. All right? We can try to understand that. Okay? Mood refers to how the Holy Spirit relates the reality or unreality of an action, whether it's real or not. And the Holy Spirit uses voice to relate to how the grammatical subject of that verb action, refers to the way in which the Holy Spirit chooses to relate the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of that verb. Okay. I should have a better example for me to just rattle off to you, but let's move on. Okay, so we're talking about voice now. How the Holy Spirit relates the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of that verb. The action of a verb, how does the subject of that action relate to the action of that verb? Okay, so try to understand that in your brain. I mean, really, because you can read that, you can read that over, but really not understand what you're reading at all. I mean, because I do that, and I've studied for years, and, you know, that's why I got to study stuff over and over again, so that I get it into my brain. And so you should get that into your brain so that it comes out like you can regurgitate it without even thinking. All right, that's what you got to do. You got to regurgitate this stuff without even like going, I know I read that 2 weeks ago, and you know, nothing like that. You got to wham wham. You got to, when somebody asks you about the mood, you have to wham. You have to that's how the speaker chooses, or the Holy Spirit chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action in the scriptures. Wham, that's got to come out of you. You can't even think about it. And then wham, as far as the voice system, that's how the Holy Spirit relates the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of the verb. Wham, that should come out of you. So that you really know what you're talking about, okay? I mean, you can... I know I took tests, I got A's in class, and all I did is regurgitate the stuff, and then I forgot it. And then I moved on, and you could say, oh man, you got an A on this test. You could ask me a month later about that stuff, and I might not remember 10% of it. I know, I've been there, okay? So What we're doing here is we're trying to hammer this stuff in your mind so that you can teach it. So that if somebody comes over and you open up this textbook, you can stand in front of these people with confidence, whether you're a Jan or whether you're a Tony, a Dr. Lowe, a Mike, or a Ron, or anybody. You can stand there and you can say, man, I know what I'm talking about, all right? And so that's what we're going to do. If we have to hammer it over and over, and then I might ask you, hey, are you guys comfortable? Do you know what we're talking about here? Because, you know, we could go over this and we could all nod our heads and go, yeah, I understand that. And a week later, not know anything, and that would be ridiculous. I don't want us to be like that. I want us to really know what we're doing. You know, I want us to, if somebody asks us a question like the scriptures, bam, bam. Do you know what the mystery is? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, tell me what the mystery is and prove it. Wham, wham. We know what to do. We know where to go. There's no problem. We're comfortable with it. We're praising the Lord in it. That's how we should learn this Greek. That's how I want us to, you know, there's no hemming and hawing. Okay, so back to the voice. Okay, it's relating the grammatical subject of the verb to the action of the verb. A verb is said to be in the active voice when the subject is presented as performing the action. I hear a man. The subject is I. I'm hearing. So the subject is performing the action. Okay, that's said to be in the active voice. And we're going to look at the active voice right in the scriptures. All right? Then it goes on to say, I hear a man, akouo anthropon. I hear a man. Here, akouo, I hear, is the active verb, since the subject of the verb is doing the hearing, rather than being heard. There are two other voices in the Greek, the passive and the middle. Okay, so we have voice. We have the active voice. We have the passive voice, and we have the middle voice. The active voice is where the subject is performing the action. No problem. Okay. In the passive voice, the subject is pictured as being acted upon. I am being heard. That's the passive voice. Well, that seems to make sense. I think we can understand that. I hear a man, active. That makes sense. I'm hearing. I'm the subject. I am being heard. Okay, so I'm not hearing anymore. I'm being heard by somebody. That's the passive voice. And I'm being acted upon. I'm saying something, and somebody is hearing me. That makes sense. I can understand that, okay? And in the middle voice, the subject is pictured as being, as acting in its own interest. And they have an example here. Do not put on two tunics. Well, that's where the subject is putting on the tunics and apparently is acting in its own interest. But I particularly think that there are better examples for that, and I've said that before. But nevertheless, the middle voice is pictured as acting in its own interest. Okay, so three voices. We have the active voice. That's where the subject is performing the action. No problem. I can understand that. And we can all understand that. Yes, you're saying yes. The passive voice is where the subject is being acted upon. Can you understand that? Yes, I can understand that. Yes, we're all nodding our heads. I am being heard. That makes sense. And then the middle voice, like I said, it's acting in its own interest. And there's a better example of that than I think what they've given here. And so let's turn to the scriptures. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a verb. The verb is enduo, and it means putting on. All right? Putting on, to clothe somebody, but more specifically, putting on. Putting off, putting on. Have you ever heard that Greek form before? Yes, you have. Putting on. That's very important in the scriptures, and as a matter of fact, it's very important in our calling now, isn't it? Yes, it is. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so, in putting on, I didn't find a passive example of that, but I found two actives and three middles. And the first active one is in Matthew 27. And it's verses 27, or it's in Matthew 27, verse 31, I'm sorry. And we're going to read Matthew 27, verses 27 through 31 in your interlinear, all right? And so this is what we're concentrating on. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling you that I am not an expert, but, you know, we are learning this Greek verb system, and we are going to hammer this Greek verb system so that you guys and me and you, are going to, we'll be able to have this in our brains. Bam, bam. We'll be able to teach others in months to come. So we look at Green's interlinear, and we're looking at the active voice. Again, what is the active voice? Well, the active voice is said to be doing the action, right? Okay, so let's look at Matthew 27, verses 27 through 31 in your interlinear, okay? So far, did everybody understand what I have said so far? Does everybody understand what, and you're going to have to give me a why. You're going to have to give me a why, or you're going to have to give me an N, because otherwise I'd have you raising your hands, and we want to make sure that, we're all brothers and sisters here. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, because otherwise, you know, we could all be, you know, sitting there having a coffee and a donut and just listen to me ramble on, and, you know, that's not good for you. So, where is Ron? Where's Ron? Is Ron here? Did Ron walk away? Okay. I didn't get a Y from Ron, but we're going to move on, and we're going to look at Matthew 27 in the interlinear. Matthew 27, verses 27 through 31. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the literal translation on the left side. Do you see that? Okay, thanks, Ron. And it says here, I'm going to move on. Okay, we're going to keep on moving. And this is very important. See, what's really cool about this, you guys and gals, is that this is the Scriptures. This is the Holy Word of God. And so what's really cool about this is we're in the Scriptures. And you can't beat that, right? Talking about when they crucified the Son of God. Amazing who he is and what they did to him. Verse 27. Then taking Jesus into the praetorium, the soldiers of the governor gathered all the cohort against him. And stripping him, they put a scarlet cloak around him. And plaiting a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And bowing the knee before him. Oh, that's okay, Ron. That's okay. I just want you to be here. That's all. And anything can happen, okay? That's all right. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Okay. And spitting on him, they took the reed and struck at his head. Alright, if you've ever been abused in this world, in this world and you can't get over it, I suggest that you look at how God was treated in the flesh. Alright? And I'm talking to Mike as much or more than I'm talking to you, alright? But sometimes we can be abused here and we can really harbor things because we don't understand. We didn't do anything wrong. We don't understand why it is that we get such treatment from the world, and we can even be angry at God. I have been there, and I don't care. I don't care, you know, what you think about me. I'm just going to say it, that I have been there, and that's not a good place to be. But I don't, you know, if I don't understand something, it really wires my brain out. And so if I'm maltreated for no reason, and the Lord allows it, that's one real bad area in my life that I have to allow the Lord to work on. But I would have to say that I've been directed by the Holy Spirit to study how the Lord was treated. All right, and He certainly didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm a filthy sinner, so I'm definitely not like Him. So that I wanted to mention that to you, and I'm going to ramble on like that because we're in the Scriptures. Okay, so they spit on Him, they mocked Him, and they whipped Him with reeds. And when they mocked Him, they stripped off His cloak, and they put His garments on Him, and led Him away to crucify Him. And to put on is the Greek form enedousan. And that means to put on. And they put on. And so that is the active voice. They put on Him. They put on. All right? So they put on Him is in, put on there is in the active. So when they put on this garment, it's used by the Holy Spirit in the active voice. You know, we're going to run through examples, and in these examples, I think it would behoove us to just look and listen at the difference, so that we understand not only by sight, but by hearing how these verb forms are different. You know, they put on, so they are the subject, they put this cloak on the Lord, so they did it. Active voice, okay? Let's turn to Luke. Luke 15, verses 20 through 22. Okay? This is another active verb. In the active, that is, in the active voice, right? We're looking at voice here. Active, passive, middle. Luke 15, 20 through 22. You know, and again, if nothing else, you are learning the Scriptures, and you are learning the verb forms right in the Word of God. So, I mean, we can't go wrong at all. Every minute that we're spending on this is valuable. All right? It is. It is true. I'm not saying that because I'm doing the rambling here. I'm just saying that because it's a fact. And so our time is well spent, folks, okay? My time is well spent. That's why I like doing it. Mike is reading Green's... Yeah, I'm reading the Green's Interlinear Bible. That's what I'm doing. Yep. And what I'm doing is, in the Green's, it has the literal translation. It has the Greek... it has the Greek minuscule writing, and then it has the King James Version. And when I read in the English, I am reading the literal translation in the left-hand column. So all of you are on the same page, okay? So we're at Luke 15, 20 through 22, all right? And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Okay, wait a minute. Go back to verse 18. Rising up, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and before you. I think this is the prodigal son. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And this is a beautiful example of the love of God, actually. And raising up, he came to his father, but yet being far away, his father saw him and was moved with pity. This is awesome, really. And running, he fell on his neck and fervently kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and no longer am I worthy to be called your son. And maybe we feel like this. I do. But the father said to his slaves, Bring out the best robe and clothe him and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet. And clothe him means to put on. To put on clothing, and you'll see in the first line in the Greek, it's endousata. Endousata, actually. Endousata is how you pronounce that. Endousata, and that is the active verb because the slaves are doing the clothing of the prodigal son. Beautiful. Active voice. All right? The nasty guys, the evil men, clothed the Lord, did the action. The slaves of the Father clothed the Son of His love in beauty. That's both are active verbs. Now we're going to turn to epistles and our calling. Ephesians and Colossians, and believe it or not, you will find a lot of middle verbs, middle voice verbs in our calling. Why that is, I should have an answer to that, but I don't have an answer right off the top of my brain. But I looked through our calling, and bam, 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 I have two Ephesians verses and one Colossians verse, and they're all in the middle voice. And what does the middle voice mean? Well, we turn to the page 13, and we notice that the middle voice is the subject acting in its own behalf. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay. So now we're going to learn of examples in the scriptures where the subject is acting in its or his or hers own behalf. Okay. Now that's pretty straightforward, or its own interest, as the text says. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. And, you know, this will hit right to home, okay? This will hit home. And so, you know, you're learning about your calling now, and a voice and a verb in your calling. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, for you have put on... for you have put off the old man. Sorry about that one. Boy, I had a little bit of ink over that. For you have put off the old man as regards the former behavior, having been corrupted according to the deceitful lust. And, you know, we have a battle. We have a battle, and it's a severe battle at times. Old man, new man. But I can just say personally, sometimes I'm like, Lord, how in the world do you expect me to live with this old man? And, you know, haven't I given my life over to you? I'm just telling you about thoughts that run through my brain. And if you say, well, you're a goofy Christian, I don't care. But maybe these can be helpful to you, knowing that, hey, somebody else out there has feelings like this. Sometimes the old man is bizarre. And I can even pray, hey, I don't want this old man. Nevertheless, he remains. And nevertheless, we are asked to put him off. Nevertheless, we are directed to put him to death. All right? And so this conflict or this reality, what is quite a battle? At least it is for Mikey. Okay, so going on, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness. And so, is there a holy work of God that has been put into us? Yes. Yes. Yes, there is. Does the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, have something to do with that? As far as I know, yes. Is God the Holy Spirit pure holiness? Yes. Is the Word of God truth and pure holiness? Yes. Does this Holy One that has been put into us and created in us as the new man, is He the one that interprets Scriptures so that we understand it through what's called the mind of Christ? Yes. And is that a reality? Yes. And so there's no hesitation or hemming and hawing in that. The only reason that we understand anything of the Word of God is this new man, in my opinion, what I know. Otherwise, the Word of God would be like anybody else under the power of the evil one, the prince of power of the air. It would be gibberish to us. But we know that that certainly is not true. And so putting on the new man, how important is that to us? Well, here it says, and put on the new man. And the verb form here is endousas thai. Endousas thai, actually, is how it's pronounced because of the accent there. They're endousas thai. Endousas thai. And this is in the middle voice. Why is this? Because we are putting on the new man, right? We are putting on the new man, and putting on the new man is beneficial to us, right? And so we are doing the action of this verb in the middle voice because it's benefiting us, right? Because we are the subject putting on the new man, and this is in benefit, or it's in our own interest, isn't it? You better believe it is. And so this is a tremendous, tremendous example of the middle voice. Put on the new man. Awesome, awesome stuff. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Oh, some more awesome material. Another middle voice verb. Okay, so we put on the new man. That's in the middle voice. Why is that? Because we're doing it in our own interest, and we're directed so by the Almighty. But, I mean, this is great stuff. Our calling. Okay, so we turn to Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. And lo and behold, we find this. For the rest, my brothers, be powerful in the Lord and in the might of His strength. Put on all the armor of God for you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we have another middle voice verb here, just as we had. And how important is this? Put on the new man, put on the armor of God. I mean, that's about as important as it gets, other than the work of Christ, which is the armor of God. So it states here, okay, we read that in Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. And if we look at verse 11, it is the Greek form, endousasta. Endousasta. And that's put on, and it's in the middle voice. Put on the whole armor of God. This putting on is done under a direction by God through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures, that it's a direction to us, and that we put on the armor of God, done in the middle voice, because it's to our benefit. Awesome, awesome material. Colossians 3, verse 10. Actually, verses 9 and 10. So we have the new man being put on in the middle voice. We have the armor of God being put on in the middle of voice, and the middle voice is to our benefit. And you know, actually, after we study this, we could get the idea. You know, we could get the idea that, boy, it seems like our Heavenly Father is really concerned about us and what we do. And, you know, if you study Ephesians 1, you'll find out that what's coming up for us is abundant joy and blessing from our dear Heavenly Father. And so, I think that if you put that together with these middle voice verbs, you'll find that that he's very concerned about us. I think that that's what you'll find. And so, we look at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Because if we're directed by God the Father, through God the Holy Spirit, to be acting in our own interest by things that He desires, I mean, I don't know how much more proof we want that He is concerned about us. Right? Right. And so we look at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. And it states in the literal translation, do not lie to one another. Have I lied in my life? Oh yeah. Do I lie still? Very little, but I can still lie. Do I lie? I'm really convicted. I'm a lot of things, but a good liar I am not. And so, you know, I mean, one thing about me is if you ask me a question, and if I'm lying to you, I'm sweating my brains out. So, I don't care if you know that about me. I'm not a good liar. So, we're not to lie to one another. And I think that bolsters the unity of the Spirit, by the way. That bolsters the idea that, you know, we're not so special when it comes to another son of God. So that, like, it's almost like we have a more important life than they do. Our lives are no important than the brother or sister next to us. And if we think they are, well, we're deceived. Do not lie to one another, having put off the old man, all right, with his practices, and having put on the new man, having been renewed in full knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, or the one created him, creating him. And the Greek form after verse 10 there, putting on, having put on, is the Greek form endousamenoi. And here the accent is over the alpha, and so it's pronounced endousamenoi. Having put on in the middle voice. And again, it's to our benefit. We are the subject. Our dear Heavenly Father is willing such to be. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is writing the directions, and this is for our complete benefit because of the love of the Father and His will. And that's what I see. That's what I see in these scriptures. All right, now, moving on from there, we are going to look at, oh, lo and behold, I have three references on our calling in the active voice, but it's under a different verb. And so we're going to be looking at the verb. That was the verb in its root form, enduo, meaning I put on. All right. Now we're going to look at a verb form, akouo, which means I hear or to hear. All right. So we're gonna look at the verb form akouo in the scriptures as to voice. Okay, that's what we're gonna do for the next 20 minutes, and then we're gonna end it. But I hope that you at least take these verses down, and then look at the Koine Greek in your interlinear, and then mark in there which ones were active and which ones were middle. And then go back and understand what the active voice is and what the middle voice is, and I think whammo, you're gonna have an understanding. Okay, you just gotta eat your Wheaties, take some vitamins, and get some rest, and then get up and do it. So we have in Ephesians 1:13. Okay? We're looking at the verb form to hear. Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 13. Okay, we're going to look at to hear in the active voice. What is the active voice? That's when the subject is doing the action of the verb. All right? So here we go. Ephesians 1, 11 through 13. And it reads, In whom we also have been chosen, actually as an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of the one, our dear Heavenly Father, working all things according to the counsel of His own will, for us to be to the praise of His glory, the ones having previously trusted in Christ, in whom also you hearing the word of truth, the good message, that's what a gospel is, of your salvation, in whom also believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, the verse 13, it states, in whom also you hearing, acusantes is in the active voice, because it is us doing the hearing. You hearing. Us hearing the word of truth. Okay? A lot of powerful truth there, though, that we read over. And, you know, the only way that I'm going to say this, I'm saying this to Mike as much as any of you, the only way to understand how much the Father cares for you is through the Spirit. It's through the Word of God. It's not in the world. You're not going to read it in the newspaper. You're not going to hear it from a voice from a room. You're going to understand it through spiritual discernment in the Scriptures. All right? And I still haven't learned that completely, because I go out there and I suffer in the world and I suffer in my brain, and then the Lord leads me back, and He leads me back, thankfully, He leads me back to the Word of God, and He says, listen, I am your dear Heavenly Father, and this is reality. Out there isn't reality. This is reality. You've been chosen out of this world. What does that, you know, you've been chosen out of this world, and that's not a game. That's not a game. It's reality. And so, being an adopted son of God is not a game. It's not something that's part of your life. It's something that is you. And so, until we learn that, we're gonna suffer some things out there, because our old man still likes to have fun, still likes to do things out there that are neat and fun and all the rest. But, you know, we end up in situations or in trouble, or if nothing else, we're weak in the faith, or we're weak in the Scriptures, and, you know, that's not a good place to be. So we look at Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Another active verse, a verb, okay, and we've got roughly maybe 15 minutes here. I'll get to a passive one after this. I'll tell you what, yeah, let's look at Philippians 4, 8 through 9. This is an active verb, in the active voice, all right? And it says, for the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if of any virtue, and if of any praise, meditate on these things, and what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things. And the active verb there is hei kusata, and it is a form of the verb akuo, and it's in the active voice, because we are or have done the hearing. All right? Okay, so let's move on. Now we're going to, for the first time, look at a passive. We're going to look at two passive verbs in the passive voice, that is to say. The passive. What is a passive verb? Well, according to the text, the verb in the passive voice is where the subject is being acted upon. It's not doing the action. It's not having the action be of its own benefit. It's being acted upon, all right? Kind of go over those rules and have them stick into your brain. Acts 10. Okay, we're going to look at two passive voice verbs, and that'll be it for tonight. But it's a good chunk. This chunk that we went through tonight, you know, you can get a nice piece of truth out of just what we've gone over in the last hour. There's no doubt about that. Okay? So let's turn to Acts 10, verses 25 through 31. Acts 10, in your interlinear, verses 25 through 31. And as Peter was coming in, meeting him, Cornelius, interesting, falling at his feet, worshipped. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Awesome. And conversing with him, he went in and found many having come together. And he said to them, "You fully know how unlawful it is for a man, a Jew, to unite or to come near to one of another race. Yet God showed to me not to call a man common or unclean. Because of this, I also came without objection, being sent for. Then I asked, 'For what reason did you send for me?' And Cornelius said, 'From the fourth day unto this hour I was fasting, and the ninth hour I had been praying in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer was heard, and your merciful deeds were remembered before God.'" Was heard is in the passive voice. His prayer was heard. It was being acted upon by God Himself. His prayer was heard. And the form here for was heard is eisekousthe. And it is from akouo, meaning to hear or I hear, and it's in the passive voice because his prayer was heard. His prayer was being acted upon by God Himself. Awesome. The last verb for tonight in the passive is in Hebrews 5, verses 4 through 7. Hebrews 5, verses 4 through 7. The passive, the verb being acted upon. Hebrews 5, verses 4 through 7. "And no one takes the honor to himself, but the one having been called by God, even as indeed Aaron. So also the Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but the one having spoken to him, 'You are my son, today have I begotten you.'" Quoted from Psalms 2:7. And he also says in another, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Awesome. Psalms 110:4. "Who in the days of his flesh, having offered both petitions and entreaties to him, being able to save him from death, with strong crying and tears, and having been heard from his godly fear." Having been heard is the Greek form ice aku astes. Ice aku astes is how that's pronounced. Ice aku astes. Ice aku astes. Ice aku astes. His fear, his tears, having been offered up, were heard. His petitions, having been offered up, were acted upon by God Himself. And so, that's in the passive. So I think we have good examples tonight of voice. Active, middle, and passive. And, okay, there's a couple other texts that eventually, I mean, if you guys really want to get into this, I can certainly recommend. One of them that I already talked about is this book by this author named Bruce Metzger, and he's a Koine Greek scholar, and his book is called, I can write this out for you. It's a small book. It's you can get it over the internet. It's about 100 pages. And the name of it, it's called Lexical Aids for Students of New Testament Greek. Okay, and I can write that out for you. Bruce Metzger, M-E-T-Z. G-E-R. Okay, I'm going to write this out for you. Okay. Okay, author's name is Metzger, and it's Lexical Aids for Students of New Testament Greek. Okay, and what this is a vocabulary text. And what he does in here, like I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, what he does in here is he breaks down the amount that each word or form is used in the scriptures. Like, for instance, on page 7 of this text, and you should really get this. He said, forms occurring more than 500 times. And then he lists all of them. Okay, blah, 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 and there's about 25 of them. And then all of a sudden on the next page it says, forms occurring 201 to 500 times. Blah, 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 and then he lists all of those. And then a couple pages ahead, he lists forms occurring 151 to 200 times, blah, 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 and he goes on. And the beauty of this is he lists the most common used forms in descending order. And so you're learning, the beauty of this is you from this little text, if you learn the forms used 500 times, and there's about 25 of them, well, man, you're going to see them pop up in your Greek text a lot. And that's the point of it. He said that this is a very, for serious students, this is a very sweet little book to have. So you should get that. All right? You should get it. Okay, there's another text, okay? And this is, hold on a second. Okay, this one is, this one that you should get is more expensive, might be a little harder to find. But I'll tell you why I'm really recommending this, and even you should get these too. Really, you should. If you're going to be serious in this, if you're going to be spending time in this, okay. This is by the Freibergs. By the Freibergs, by Timothy and Barbara Freiberg. Freiberg, F-R-I-B-E-R-G. And it's called Analytical Greek New Testament. Some of you might have this Testament. And the publisher is Baker. And see, what this does is this is just Greek. But what it does is it has what's called grammatical tags under each form. And so you could say, well, how do I know that a form is in the active voice? Well, what you do is you take your interlinear, you find the form, and then you look into this text, and what it'll have is it'll have a grammatical tag underneath it. And I'm going to show you an example of a grammatical tag. And I gotta make sure I get this right, okay? But you gotta get this text. And you gotta get used to it. If you're gonna go on for years with this, you're gonna have to get this text because it'll be very helpful. Okay, so there's a form in here, and this is its tag. Okay, I'm gonna show this to you. Give me a second. Okay. Hold on. Give me a second. Okay. That's a grammatical tag. VPPANM-P. Okay? What these grammatical tags will appear under each Greek form in the scriptures of the New Testament. Alright? So what does that grammatical tag mean? All right. So what I'm saying to you is that you can get this text by Freiberg. It's only got Greek in it. That's great. And so you're looking at the Greek, and it shows all these forms in the Greek. But underneath each form is one of these tags. And so, and even if you didn't know anything about the Greek, you could say you could look up on a chart in the front, and you could say, oh, let's see, V. Well, that's a verb. Oh, P. Well, let me see here. That's it's a participle. Verbs and participles. That's going to be it's a participle. Participles and verbs, they're interactive together. And then you say, oh, P, it's in the present tense. Oh, and hey, A, it's in the active voice. Oh, and hey, it's N, it's in the nominative case. Oh, and hey, it's in M, it's in the masculine gender. Oh, and OP, it's in the plural voice. So right there, you can identify, like an expert, you can identify every form in the scriptures with this text from Freiberg's. All right, so it's really important for you to get because it will help you rather than being out there in outer space spending time and time, you know, what is this? Is it a verb? Is it a noun? Is it a, you know, adjective? Is it a, you know, what is this? Is it, you know, what case is it? What voice is it? Whammo, you'll have it right there, and you'd say, well, am I supposed to trust the Freiburgs? Okay, well, hey, listen, you know, I can only go so far in my knowledge. I guess I could say, well, you know, ultimately, should you trust any human being? No. You know, but I suppose that after a while, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can compare these forms together with what you know truth is, and eventually, it would might take you a while, but you could probably get a good understanding if these Freibergs know what they're doing, and I think they do. All right, so I hope all of that made sense to you. But you know, if you want to get into this, it's not for Susie's. And you know, you could say, wow, this is more complicated than I ever imagined. Okay, well, so what? You know, I mean, you know, this is it, and this is what we're doing, and every hour we spend in this is only, you know, we learned a chunk of excellent knowledge tonight. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we'd have to be in a coma for us not to realize that. And so we're going to continue on in another time. Let me see. What are we going to do? Well, I think we covered voice pretty well, so we get an understanding of that. And so I suppose that we're going to move on to tense, which is really going to be a barn burner. If you look at on page 14 in your text, there's seven tenses, no less, to understand. Present tense, future tense, imperfect tense, aorist tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense, future perfect tense. So, you know, I mean, you got to really hammer this stuff in there. And I think that we've provided enough verbiage for all of you to hammer in person number. Yeah, sure, no problem. Person number, mood and voice. I think if you go, if nothing else, hey, reviewing a lesson, do it. I have to, and so I think we're at least brought up to speed where we can understand person, number, mood, voice, right? Now we're going to move on to tense, which is a big boy. Okay, it's a big boy, and it's, you know, but rather than sitting here and weeping over it and crying over it and then dwindling away, we're going to embrace it. So I really thank you guys tonight. This is as helpful to me, believe me, as it is to you. So, amen.